We've been talking Sabbath for quite a while now. Anybody feel like they got to figure it out? They understand what Sabbath means, what it's about, what the scripture says?
I feel like yes, but at the same time, I feel like you would like ask me questions, and I would be like, "Well, I mean, I did the gist."
Yeah. And maybe what I want to get to is maybe you know what Sabbath is, what it means, you know what the word says about it, but maybe your experience this week was, "I'm tired," or "I feel the brokenness of the world," or "I'm ready for Sabbath. I'm ready to experience it." We have this weekly reminder, this weekly experience of we get tired and we long for rest. So we looked at Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 last time and thinking about there's a past Sabbath, there's a present Sabbath that we have entered into, and there's a future Sabbath that is yet to come, a future rest that we have not yet experienced. We also talked about the Lord's Day. What is Sunday, this Lord's Day, and is it a Sabbath or not? But we got some other texts we need to look at in the New Testament, so that's where we're going to be going today, is looking at the keeping of days. And the second thing we'll do is we'll lay out a spectrum of Christian perspectives on Sabbath, just recognizing there isn't one perspective on the Sabbath, and we want to think about that, especially as free church people. How do we relate to Christians who might have a different conscience about Sabbath? And then what we'll do, hopefully, is wrap up with kind of what are, at the very least, what are the wisdom principles that we ought to be putting into effect for what can we learn from Sabbath? What would that mean for us? So let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Paul's laid out his rich theology, and then he moves into this more, say, practical, okay, given all these things that are true, how then shall you live? And these are his exhortations to the believers in Rome. We get to chapter 14, and we hear Paul say this: "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions," or quarrel. I don't know why I always say that word wrong. Jenny always tells me, "You say that word wrong." I think quarrel. "One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables." Okay, so he's talking about eating, what kind of food they're going to eat here. "Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats." I should say that direction. "But God has welcomed him." So there's different camps, right? Paul's aware of this. Some people were eating, some people were not eating. And there was a temptation to relate to each other in not so kind ways. "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand." So, you think you're passing judgment on somebody else because they've chosen to live their life a certain way. And you're not their master. That other person is a servant of someone else. They're a servant of Jesus. They're going to stand before him. He's the master in terms of how they've chosen to live out their convictions and conscience. Now, there are certainly things, right, where there's only one camp. All Christians ought to believe these things. He's talking here about matters of conscience. Areas of freedom in the Christian life, and how do Christians relate to one another? And that's the context of chapter 14 and into 15. And then he says this in verse 5. "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike." So apparently, there could be this freedom of conscience about days. And some might say, no, this is a special day, and we're not given the details here about what that means, but some people are saying, this is a special day, maybe I do certain things, maybe they're talking about Sabbath here. Or somebody else says, well, no, this day is my special day. and these things happen. Again, we're not given the details, right, of what's happening on this special day. Paul says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. So what is the intent of the person who's setting apart this day? They're doing it to honor the Lord. If their motive is pure, and it's to glorify him, then that's just and good. So here we have Paul talking about conscience, and he makes reference to days. Again, we're not given all the details. So maybe this is Sabbath, maybe this is not. Okay. Any questions or thoughts about Romans 14 here? Then let's move to Colossians chapter 2. As soon as I get there, there we go. Now Paul says in chapter 2, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And then he's going to unfold how in all of Christ the fullness of deity dwells. And he's going to talk about the gospel work of Jesus and what he accomplished in the cross and resurrection. And then he moves into maybe the next section that's still under this heading of don't be taken captive by these philosophies, by these traditions of men. He says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you. Okay, so he's talking similarly to what he did in Romans, right? Don't let somebody pass judgment on you. Don't let somebody make an assessment of how you're living your life. Okay, in what areas, Paul? In questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. So here we see our word that we're studying, Sabbath, the topic. What do you think was going on here? Any thoughts on what was happening?
Well, in Romans, you said there was two camps. Mm-hmm. So here, one camp could be telling the other one that they're doing the wrong thing, right? Mm-hmm. Passing judgment on
yep.
another.
Yeah, so that's the way they're relating to each other. Yep. What about the area or the topic or the life choice that people were making, the ethical decision? What about that? What do we learn here? Food, drink, festival, new moon, Sabbath. What are these things? Yeah, Bill.
The bold heading here says freedom from human rule, so it's generalized.
Okay. Yep. So there's a principle here, yep. Human rules, yep. With some specifics here, though, right? So what are the specifics? What you hear these words, what should come to mind to you?
I think Mosaic law.
Mosaic law, yep. Yeah, let's say more. Like what?
Well, in the Mosaic law, there'd be like foods that were clean and unclean. Mm-hmm. There would be certain festivals and things
yes.
that have to be observing at certain times in the calendar.
Yeah.
And then the Sabbath day. So right. these are all things that
we're
now kind of like, okay, so how do we do this now that Jesus has come? What's the relationship to the law now?
Yeah, yep, exactly. If you're a first century believer and you're reading these words, you're thinking Old Testament, Mosaic law, that's what the reference is for you. And Christ has come, and Christ has had victory over sin and death, right? He says, he has nailed it to the cross. He's disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So what is now changed now that Christ has come and he's established the new covenant? And that's what some Christians were wrestling with in the first century. Probably because there was a mix of Jews and Gentiles in Colossae. So any other questions or thoughts about what Paul says here in Colossians? No? Okay. Just a smile. Just a smile. Let's jump over to Galatians then. Chapter 4. Paul is writing to the believers in Galatia, and he's telling them, listen, you're either a slave or you're a child of God. Okay? That's verses 1 to 7. And so he says, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. So you've been freed from being a slave, and you are now an adopted child of God. Then he says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. So when you weren't a son, you were a slave to what you thought were gods, but they're not really gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world? Again, we heard that word over in Colossians. These are probably spiritual forces, spiritual beings at play. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? And he says this, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid that I may have labored over you in vain. What was going on here? They were turning back to the Mosaic Law, and they were observing these days to save themselves. That was the danger, right? That's part of what's going on in Galatia. Paul's warning them. Listen, the gospel is a good news that God saves us, not that we save ourselves, by observing the law, by keeping days, by celebrating festivals and new moons and Sabbaths. We don't save ourselves that way. We don't save ourselves through circumcision. That's one of the other things, right? So that's what Paul is getting at here. Okay. Any questions about Galatians chapter 4? So at first glance, you read these passages, and many take away from them, we don't have to partake of Sabbath anymore. We don't have to keep that commandment. Sabbath is done away with. That's what many Christians have taken away from these passages. Can you see how that would be the case? You're now free from Sabbath. You don't have to keep certain days. You don't have to honor them and practice them. Right? That's what many have done. I take a different stance. Let me see if I can present that to you. At first glance, they do seem to negate the keeping of Sabbath. However, let's think about some other things. If we were to go to Psalm 118, we would hear these words. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you hear that as a call to, I'm going to use that as a call to worship this morning when we go upstairs. This is the day the Lord has made. This Sunday, this Lord's Day, this Resurrection Day. I think that's what the psalmist is looking ahead to. He's looking ahead to Resurrection Day when Jesus would rise from the grave. So if the gospel writers and John, we saw that last week when we looked at the Lord's Day in that language, when we saw that Jesus was raised on this, I'm going to get it wrong now, on the first day of the week, right? They give particular attention to that detail of all things. They didn't have to say what day Jesus was raised on, right? The most important thing was that he was raised, he rose from the grave. But we have this little detail in Scripture. It's given multiple times. It was the first day. Pentecost happened on the first day. This is all connected with the feasts. So gospel writers in John refer to a particular day as the Lord's Day. They're making something of one day out of the seven. So Paul over here is saying, all days are equal. Don't judge each other, right? And then over here, you have writers saying there's something particular and special about a day of the week. Tension between these two things? How can they both be true? Maybe I want to say because Paul wasn't talking about the Lord's Day. He wasn't talking about Sabbath. Okay? That's what I'm going to suggest. We don't want to flatten the calendar by equating every day with all the others. So we go back to Romans 14 or Colossians 2 or Galatians 4 and we say, what is the reference to these days and to Sabbath? Well, I think, Carrot, I mean, you pointed us back to the Old Testament. It's the feast days, maybe Leviticus 16 or 23 in those chapters, but it's not the Sabbath. Maybe that's what Paul's talking about with days. Feast days, new moons, festivals. Those things in the Old Testament law, you don't have to keep anymore. Why? Because they were always a type, a shadow. And as Paul makes really clear in Colossians, right, the substance has come. The antitype has come in Jesus. And you don't have to do those anymore as a part of a religious following of God. The thing we might say is that Colossians refers to a Sabbath, not the Sabbath. All right? That's a bit of a grammatical argument, but he's saying a Sabbath, not the Sabbath. And also, you could say that when Paul is referring to food and drink in Colossians, he might be referencing Ezekiel 45, which says this, "It shall be the prince's duty to furnish the burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings at the feasts, the new moons, and the Sabbaths, all the appointed feasts of the house of Israel. He shall provide the sin offerings, grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings to make atonement on behalf of the house of Israel." Do we have to obey Ezekiel 45 anymore? No, because Jesus is the atonement. He is the offering, the sacrifice. So we don't need to come at these new moons and festivals to gather, to make offerings. There are a number of other places where feast, new moon, Sabbath, that those three words are used together in the Old Testament. You could also say, you could look at Numbers chapters 28 and 29, where there's a system of offerings. And that might be what Paul is referring to in Romans or Colossians or Galatians. And again, the problem was, if you go to the Old Testament, those things were to be practiced, not to save yourself. If you're a Jew in Israel, you don't go on a new moon and make offerings to save yourself. God saves you. He rescues you. He delivers you. And then out of his salvation, you respond by giving these offerings in kind. They're a fruit of salvation. And when you get to the New Testament, this is one of Paul's great concerns, especially in the book to the Galatians, right? You see that theme in Galatians? They're trying to go back. They're returning. And Paul's saying, no, we have a gospel of grace by which God saves us. Don't go back. You're getting confused. Don't fall into that temptation. John Frame also makes this argument, I think, as why he would suggest that we don't take these references, these keeping of days, to mean the Sabbath. He says, one of the things that's happening is we're moving from a Jewish culture to a Gentile culture, or at least a mix of Jews and Gentiles. So what? Just think about Jewish culture and what would have happened throughout the week. What would they have done on Fridays into Saturdays? Prepare for Sabbath, yep, and then take Sabbath, you know, on Saturday. Okay, now you've got some Gentiles that are coming into this community, and what are the rhythms, weekly rhythms for Gentiles? Every day is probably the same. Although they would have. I mean, we get our days of the week from Roman and Greek culture, right? From the gods. Remember the gods, their names match to our days of the week. So days might have been special to them. But every day was probably mostly the same. So were they working on Sundays? Probably. Their livelihood probably depended on getting up and working on Sunday. Which is why when we look back in records, most gatherings took place in the afternoon or the evening in the early church. We see that. Because they were working on that day. And then they would gather. They didn't have the freedom to wake up like this morning and come and gather. If they were going to eat the next day, the next week, they had to work. Now, they weren't taking Saturdays off, right? So you've got Jews who've come to Christ, and they're maybe still taking Sabbath rest, resting on Saturdays. You've got Gentiles who are used to working and then gathering in the evening. You can see how this comes together, and there are all sorts of questions about, like, when do we gather, and what's a Sabbath, and when do we take a rest? And so this is where some Christians would say this is the context, the issue that Paul is addressing in his letters, is this Jewish Gentile clash of trying to figure out, when do you take a Sabbath rest? When do you gather for Lord's Day worship? These were the issues that were coming together and meeting ahead. So Paul was not anti-Sabbatarian. That's not what we should take away from these texts. But working to mediate Sabbath observance or keeping amongst a mix of Jews and Gentiles. Here are some other thoughts about the keeping of feasts and Sabbath years in Jubilee. In the Old Testament, purpose was to celebrate events in Old Testament history for the Jewish people. This was part of the Old Testament ceremonial system. There was a place, Jerusalem, where you went up to. There was altars where you made sacrifices. There was a priesthood who made the sacrifices. And Sabbath was connected and tied to the land of Israel. We talked last time about how all of those things changed when Jesus came. Jesus said, worship in spirit and truth. It's no longer going to be about a place, Samaria or Jerusalem. I know some of us would disagree on how this all gets worked out, but the land is about the whole earth now, all right? It's spreading to the whole earth. Sacrifices are done away with because they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So this keeping of feasts, Sabbaths, Jubilee, it fit in that context, in that age, during that season of history, but now it's changed since Jesus has come. So this is the argument for why, in these passages, Paul's not arguing against the keeping of Sabbath. So, but other Christians do take it that way. But that's what Paul's saying in Colossians or Galatians or Romans. So, any thoughts, questions about that? Makes perfect sense, right? Don't you just love that there are these things to grapple with? Some things of our faith are simple and clear. Other things are harder. Right. Well, let's do this. Let's move to our next section this morning. We've really covered the whole lay of the land, all that Scripture has to say about Sabbath. Let's kind of build a... Christians have different perspectives on Sabbath, if you haven't picked up on by now. Let's lay that spectrum out. All right. So we'll kind of put Christians in three camps. And we'll call this camp the strict. This is the green one that doesn't work. Strict Sabbatarians. This over here might be the... This is not the best phrase.
All days are the same.
All days are the same. Yep. Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus, so therefore all days are the same. So, doesn't matter. All days. Equal. There's a group in the middle. I don't know what the name is for them, but... what do you think? All days are equal. What are they gonna say about Sabbath?
You don't have to keep it.
Don't have to keep it. So it's not binding.
Yeah.
Why?
Every day is created by God.
Every day is created by God? Yeah. You want to open it? The creation ordinance wasn't really a creation ordinance. They wouldn't see it that way, that it was when God rested after creating for 6 days, that this was an ordinance that was for all mankind, for all time. They wouldn't understand that.
They'd say, oh, it's an ordinance. They shouldn't have said, this is an ordinance.
Right. Yeah, it should have been more explicit. It should have been written down in the text. Yeah. Yeah. So we can say no creation ordinance. Yeah. What else?
They probably say it's a matter of conscience.
Matter of conscience?
Yeah.
Yep.
And, to some, everything is, every day is the same. To others, you know, certain days are sacred.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the conscience fit better. Because they would be more like, well, either this or that. Whereas all days are equal, but they fight a little bit more, or not fight, but be a little bit more like the opposite of the Sabbatarians. Like, you must not.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to come out of that it's not binding.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is a conscience issue. So they're going to. This is going to be the most lenient, less judgy group.
So then, what do the all days equal do with the Ten Commandments? That commandment that, you know, what do they do with
yep.
that?
They would say all of the other 9 commandments were affirmed in by Jesus and the New Testament writers, but not Sabbath. In
they
fact,
said that the Sabbath was sort of a symbol of or a sign of the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have the Lord's Supper,
yep.
And we have other signs of the new covenant that we keep.
So that's another argument. Remember, we saw Sabbath was a sign that Israel was in covenant with God. New covenant, we have new sign. Yep, two new
but
ordinances.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the reasons why, like, I don't understand why God would give 10 commandments and then one would go away when all the other 9 stay, personally. That's where I'm at. That just strikes me as inconsistent. Yeah. So.
That's similar to the sacraments, you know, where Protestants believe that since Jesus administered the whole commandment of the Eucharist and the baptism, those are sacraments. The others that perhaps the Catholics honor were not instituted by Jesus, such
mm-hmm.
as the rites of death and stuff.
Yeah, all of those. Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see, what else with all days are equal? What about, when would they care about gathering with God's people?
It doesn't matter. I mean,
doesn't quite matter. Yeah.
Maybe it's important, but it doesn't matter.
It's important, but it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, Hebrews does say we should not neglect the gathering.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm not saying that they wouldn't say forsake gathering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they consider every time they're gathered with a group of Christians as
exactly.
a sacred event.
Yep.
Well, that would be a plus, I guess.
Yeah, they would kind of lean towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They would still recognize that. I think most of them would say Sunday is the Lord's day, but they might be more open to gathering on Saturdays. Say like a Saturday evening service, and that kind of counting, if you will, as the weekly gathering.
Would they be more open to working on Sunday? Like
they'd be more open
Sunday,
to those things. Yep.
Even inconsistent church attendance if they're counting other gatherings.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to be more likely to say, there's wisdom in working and resting, But it doesn't matter which of those days are, right? It doesn't matter which day of the week that you work on and which one you rest on.
Yeah. We might even consider this would be like a long stretch, but you work, you know, how many hours a day and then you rest 8. You know what I mean? Like a daily, more like an organic rhythm to your day.
Sure. Like in a daily, Lord's yeah. Day.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Lord's part of the day.
I don't think they'd probably say it that way, but yeah. 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 Well, I want to be careful. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, they probably put less importance on the local church in the sense that, hey, I gathered with a bunch of Christians over here, so I'm not going to go to church today, or, you know, maybe they put less importance on the local church. Just getting together with Christians can fulfill that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and this is where we want to be careful to say, like, we're talking about Sabbath, one day in seven, work and rest, those things. And we're kind of working it out to what it might mean, right? And we want to be careful to not, what's the word I'm looking for? Put words in their mouths or assume that all people who would hold this position would denigrate the local church. You know what I mean? But we could see how it might work itself out to that. Yeah. If anytime Christians gather, if I am in a Christian family and two of us are at home, we can gather, you know, and this is just as good as what's happening this morning here. But I would say, like, folks who hold this position, like D.A. Carson, firm, solid. He goes to church on Sundays, all right? That's what you're like, right? Like, he was a TEDS professor in our movement in the Free Church, right? Like, this is a good guy. You know, he's not, you know what I mean? So, yeah. That's kind of that perspective. Let's slide all the way over here to the strict Sabbatarians. What are they thinking about Sabbath?
It's on Saturday.
It's on Saturday? Mm-hmm. Some of them would say yes, it's on Saturday. So, there's a specific day. Yep. And they're going to split on that. Some are going to say it's Saturday, like Seventh-day Adventists and other Christians. Others are going to say it's changed, it's been transformed from Saturday to Sunday. We talked about some of those reasons why last week, why it's moved from Saturday to Sunday with the Lord's Day. Yep, so a specific day of the week.
They definitely say it's binding, it's a commandment.
It's a binding commandment, yeah. You don't take Sabbath, you're breaking a moral law, and you're guilty. Yep.
We've lived in communities where they have the Christian Reformed Church and Reformed Church, you know, etc. And they're Calvinists. They believe in not doing any work at all on Sunday, not mowing your lawn or anything.
Yep.
So it's almost a cultural overlay, and they're very strict about it. And you'll get chastised by your neighbors if they observe you doing anything that could be worse.
Yeah, you say cultural overlay from Mosaic times to now. Yeah, really kind of a one-to-one mapping. Yep. So some within the strict Sabbatarian, like, you don't mow your lawn, you don't cook food, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Just to add that real quick, but I mean, I was in a very strict Sabbatarian where if I bought milk and I'd have to watch it if I had to get milk on a Sunday at a store, if anybody saw me at the church, I'd be in trouble.
Sure.
Or at least I'd feel I'm in trouble. I'd have that kind of pressure.
There's some eyes watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say milk because, I mean, it could have been anything. Yeah.
and you forgot to do it on the other days. Yeah. They're more likely to say Sabbath is worship. Sabbath is about worship, not as much about rest. You have to rest to worship, but Sabbath is about worship. So they're going to focus on the gathering. They're going to focus on maybe you have an evening service as well. Maybe you're praying throughout the day. Maybe you're having other Christians over to your house and you're eating a meal with them. They're going to focus on those things. Like, the whole day is Sabbath and it's all for worship. So.
So which denominations are under this category? I mean, is it throughout?
Seventh-day Adventists.
Oh.
The Westminster Confession of Faith is a strict Sabbatarian position, although how well Presbyterian churches actually practice this out.
Christian Reformed Church.
Christian Reformed Church. Yeah, yep, those. You know, they're going to be no work. Some are going to say no recreation, so like can't play volleyball, right, at the youth event tonight. You know, stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. They might, but I don't know. Yeah. So this is kind of a strict Sabbatarian position. Any other thoughts or questions or maybe observations you've had over the years, maybe knowing some people?
So
yeah.
Would that be like when Jesus got criticized because his disciples were crushing grain that they were working? Would it be like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I would hope they would be a little more, less pharisaical.
Right. Oh,
you know?
But is that kind of the mind?
Yeah, that mindset. Yeah. And you can see the danger, right, where we begin to add these man-made rules about how you work this out. Yeah, Karen.
Do you know where Doug Wilson and Christchurch, were they kind of talk? Because they're more...
Not quite here, more in here. Yeah.
But would you say maybe a little kind of middle range? Because I don't see it being strict Sabbatarian, but...
Yeah.
Yep, in here. So this position, in the middle, they're going to say, well, Sabbath is still binding, right? It's still a law in effect today. But it's been transformed by Christ. He's come. You can do away with kind of the ceremonial aspects of the Old Testament Mosaic law. You don't have to do those things. It's transformed. Yeah. I mean, you just begin to think about how long that took. Like, somebody was working. Lost my train of thought. Transformed from Saturday to Sunday. So some in here are going to say, like, Sabbath is Sunday. But others are going to say, well, no, it's not necessarily about a specific day. It's about the pattern of 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. They're going to use words like, there are some jobs, there's some work that is necessary. Like, it's necessary that a pastor works on Sunday. It's necessary that somebody's working at a plant right now to keep the lights on. It's necessary that there are some medical personnel staffing the hospital. It's necessary, you know, you just start to think about, in our modern context, kind of necessary type work. So it's not about, it's about at least the pattern of 6 and 1. More likely to say Sabbath is about rest. It's about rest. That's what Sabbath means. It's rest. It's ceasing from your labors, from your toil. So that with the blessing that you get to gather for worship, but it's not necessarily they're correlated with each other.
Question was posed about where denominations fit. So, where does the E Freak Church fit?
Wherever you want to land.
Good point.
That's true.
We don't take a stance, right, on Sabbath.
You mentioned Galatians, and in Paul's letter, it's such an emphasis on the authenticity and superiority of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other theme is about liberty in Christ.
Yeah.
And I think it's really informs us a lot.
It does. Yep. And that's, I mean, I know we've taken like 2 months to talk about Sabbath, but this is the most contested of the Ten Commandments, right? There's a lot to work through. And you land somewhere on this spectrum. And if somebody's over here, and somebody's over here, and we're together in the same church, that could cause some tension, right? But as Free Church people, as Bill's saying, you know, the gospel is central and most important to us, and liberty in Christ, and trying to figure out how we exercise Sabbath and work this out. So,
okay. Yeah. Being on kind of both sides at one time in my Christian walk, I find that the middle, if I'm understanding the middle right, is the walk in the Spirit. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's being sensitive to the Spirit of God, concerned about these
concerned about Sabbath.
It's not just kind of a flip. Well, you know, I'm in Christ, and it doesn't really matter. It's not that kind of attitude. It's a Spirit-led attitude, not under bondage, which you could end up being in a strict Sabbatarian, or not maybe a tendency to be too flippant, maybe. On the other side.
Yeah.
But it is, and that's what he's dealing with in the book of Galatians. That's what I'm still, right? It's going to be a process until I see the Lord.
All of us in process, yeah.
Just letting him truly have his reign in my life, like even with tithing, right? I'm not under some rule to tithe. Mm-hmm. I'm tithing because I love Christ and he owns everything.
As we say, joyfully, generously, sacrificially.
But sometimes these groups, like, you know, strict Sabbatarian, it's, you know, you just check the boxes.
Yeah.
It could be. Maybe it's not, but it could be, right?
Yeah. So this is where we want to be careful to say, these brothers and sisters, out of obedience to God, not to save themselves, believe that they are persuaded that they ought to keep the Sabbath on Sunday, and that this is right and good and glorifies God. You're talking about the ditch.
Yeah.
You can fall into a judgmentalism, legalism, a save yourself by keeping the Sabbath. That's the danger that they have to fight. Now, the other end, they believe Christ has saved them and that he's done away with the Sabbath keeping. And they are freed from having to obey it. And so they don't have to keep Sabbath. And that they can glorify God by taking the principles, the lessons that you learn from Sabbath, and having that be wisdom in their lives. The ditch for them is a flippancy. Right? So we just want to be careful, right? It's like these are the dangers to. So.
And some of the denominations are pretty insistent on it. Like, we'll have snow days and times when we aren't able to hold a service on Sunday, let's say. Mm. But the Roman Catholics, it's always Saturday and or Sunday. Seventh-day Adventists have an entire faith system built upon Saturday being the Sabbath, and it's an all-day worship, but it's like the Seventh-day Adventists think that the other ways of practice are kind of like heresy. So they believe it pretty strongly.
Yeah. So Jude, as we get into Jude right now, Jude's going to help us think about categories that we have, right? Anybody on this is not a heretic. They're not a false teacher, right? That's what Jude's going to help us to think about. These are not core essential issues of our faith. Jude's going to get at...
There are some.
Okay, we'll pause here. I think what we'll do next week is, at the very least, we should all be here. If not, maybe some of us are more this direction, right? And so we'll think through what are the wisdom principles that we've learned from Sabbath. And then I think what I'll do is I'll use this book, because Guy's going to be gone. So we're not going to try to move into work in May. But I'm going to take this book and help us to think through... Living a grace-paced life in a burnout culture. So let's think about how, if at the very least Sabbath is a principle for rhythms of rest and work, living in a culture that's go, 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 do, 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 get stuff done, some of our American values, right? It's hard for us to practice Sabbath. And let's take some time to think through look at our own lives. How are we doing? Again, wherever you fall on this spectrum, and think through this over the next month, and we'll put it into practice. This is David Murray, his book Reset. So, yeah, he's a pastor in Michigan. Is a professor at Grand Rapids as well, I think. So, yeah. So we'll take that and apply it over the next month. So, all right. I'd like to pray for us. We'll go upstairs and worship. Father, we talked about a lot of things, but one thing that has come out is the gospel of Jesus Christ, front and center. We love and are thankful for his death and resurrection. And that is what we want to cherish as your people. And it's the only means by which we come to you this morning. We are not saved merely by gathering here. That doesn't save us. We can't keep Sabbath and make ourselves pure or clean before you. It is the sacrifice of Jesus that we are trusting in. And so that's how we're going to go upstairs and worship you through him. As the Spirit, as Linus has reminded us, as we walk in the Spirit. So help us to glorify you and continue to build each other up. And help us to be a hospitable, welcoming people. To love our neighbors who might come and join us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.